It's time for JT the Brick on Fox Sports Vegas.
Let me get to the Vegas Golden Knights.
Original season ticket holder put the deposit down so you can imagine I've been just really excited about this team.
We're looking for Knight fans like Raider fans every day at 4 o'clock.
Shoot safe in front. Score! Brandon Peary!
Peary's a big-time deal.
Out in front. He for Stastny. He scores! Paul Stastny! 3-2 Vegas!
People are fired up to talk.
Out in front. A shot. Diving save. Flurry! Oh, my goodness!
Donuts, donuts. Let's keep this momentum going.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Great to be back, JT, with you. Hope you're having a great day into the weekend. Brought to you by Golden Entertainment, The Monologue, PT, Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick. All the new PTs. A brand new PT's Gold open this week. And I'm excited to head on out to the hockey game tomorrow with some of the buddies in the PT's box. Ready to roll. The Knights are in town for the next 8 out of 9, which is great. We'll talk to Gary Lawless. He'll join us in 20 minutes. The Knights insider. We'll talk to him about the road trip, what happened on the road, the momentum with the win, the shootout win at Tampa Bay, which was enormous, enormous, a Mount Rushmore win for this young organization on the road. No debate. You play Tampa once a year in Tampa, and you win in a shootout. That is an iconic road regular season victory. Big one. Type of momentum that could help a charge into the season with the 8-9 coming home. And then winning in Hockey Town in Detroit is always a big deal. Look, Detroit's been a dominant hockey city forever. Dominant. And to go in there and to take care of business, fabulous. You know, Detroit's not the same team that they were in the 90s and the early 2000s, but you get a win on the road in front of really good, knowledgeable hockey fans who are all scratching their heads saying, what? How is this Vegas Golden Knight team? This is cool. I want a hat. I want a jersey. I want to like this team. I want to go see the Red Wings play in Vegas. That's what these wins do on the road. It gets those road fans who travel with the Vegas Golden Knights. It's building their tradition of being a fan base that can travel, which we're a long way away from having fans that are going 10, you know, 2,000 a pop going in. Now, you know, go to L.A., it's not tough. Go to Anaheim, it's been great. San Jose, but to go to Detroit and to hear the fans that were there last night and to see what's been happening, good job by this town and the organization. I'll get to that momentarily. Also, Raider news, as we were kicked off the radio for hockey, which is a good thing, especially when they win. I've been in touch with the Raiders. I've been following it. I know what's going on with the Raiders. And I can promise you there is no news to report just yet, as a couple of reporters in the Bay Area tripped all over their microphones announcing the deal at former AT&T, it's now Oracle Baseball Stadium, in San Francisco, which I think would be a nice fit for the Raiders. I'm cool. I love the stadium. I love the stadium. But I've always said that the Raiders will play in Oakland. And I think they deserve one more year in Oakland. It's going to be a negotiation. It's going to be high rent. It's going to feel ugly in regards to the rent. But the fans want one more year to say goodbye before we get them here in Vegas. And those fans in Oakland did not get a proper goodbye. They didn't. They didn't get a proper goodbye. The last game of the year, Monday Night Football, everybody got behind the team, thought they would eventually leave, possibly sooner than later, but it didn't feel like a going-away party. So I continue to say that the Raiders will play in Oakland and stay in Oakland for one more year. I know they don't want to play at Levi's Stadium. If they have to play there because the commissioner insists on it because they're running out of time and they play in the Niners Stadium, believe me, no one's going to like that. No Raider fan's going to want to do it, but they'll go and they'll suck it up like these Raider fans have been sucking it up for the last couple of years. And if they play at Oracle, AT&T Park, I'm cool with that. You can take Bart over from Oakland. You can get off the train. You can walk around downtown San Francisco and watch the Raiders play in the coolest baseball stadium in the country. And everybody will get over it because they're coming to Vegas. See, ladies and gentlemen, what I wanted to talk about, I haven't been on for most of the week, is that this is what I'm seeing. I was just in San Diego talking to Raider fans. I'm back in Vegas talking to Raider fans. Everybody now knows it's Vegas. There's no more hiding. There's no more pretending. There's no more dipping your toe in the water. Tommy White joins us at the bottom of the hour. He's building the stadium with the local 872. He'll give us an update on the stadium, what's new since we've talked to him about a week and a half ago. But still waiting, no announcement on where the Raiders will play their home games in 2019. You don't want Sam Boyd. You don't want your A-list customers going out to that place. You don't even want UNLV football having to play out there before the stadium's here, but they can handle it. So for the Raiders, I hope this announcement is made here in the next couple of days, and I'm hoping it's for Oakland, for the people that download this show and listen to us online at the LV Sports Network for Raiders news. Hopefully we have something to tell you early next week. All right, basketball is a big deal because the trade deadline came and went and Anthony Davis didn't go to the Lakers. So now the welcoming committee of the media in Los Angeles, the pom-pom media guys who said, oh, LeBron's coming, this is going to be great. Now they have to get off of the welcoming committee and now they have to do their job and criticize LeBron James and Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka for not getting a deal done. As the Celtics won the battle, the Celtics are the big winners. They got Anthony Davis to pause. They got the Pelicans to say, don't do anything. And now the Celtics, with Jason Tatum and all their players and draft picks, have a really good chance to court Anthony Davis, even though reports are that Anthony Davis doesn't want to be a Celtic. He wants to be a Knick, a Laker, a Clipper, or a Milwaukee Buck are the four teams there. So I still think he gets to the Lakers. But what this means for LeBron is the Lakers will suck this year. They will be no good. Maybe they get into the playoffs. If they do, they're one and done. So there's no more LeBron going to 9 straight finals. That's over. And then next year, the Lakers got to hope that they get either Kawhi Leonard, because Kevin Durant's not going, or Anthony Davis, or LeBron's going to have to wait another year. Because next year he's competing with the Knicks and the Clippers and other teams because a lot of teams have cap space, a lot of cap space, and they're going to be able to go after two for one, two star players in one offseason. That would be Durant and Kyrie together. How would you like Kyrie and Kawhi Leonard together? How would you like Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard? I mean, as a Knicks fan, I'm dreaming of the potential of Durant and Kyrie Irving and Zion Williamson, number one pick overall. My Knickerbockers are loaded if that happens. But the Knicks will probably get Kemba Walker and maybe Jimmy Butler because they're never able to do it because they have bad ownership. So for LeBron James and the Lakers, they had that great win in Boston. Rondo hit the game-winning shot. But they are in disarray because LeBron tried to trade the entire team. He tried to trade the entire team, and the team knows it. And now the team's supposed to walk by LeBron in practice and go, hey, buddy, you want to shoot free throws with me afterwards for a half hour? Not going to happen. This is what LeBron James does. He comes to a team instantly gets better, going to the NBA Finals, and then when he's done with you, he's done. You get thrown in the trash, and he goes somewhere else to make more money. So the Lakers, and a lot of Laker fans in Vegas, what was your big takeaway on the trade deadline and what the Lakers didn't do? 876-1340. If you're a Laker fan, I'd love to know what you think the organization needs to do now. Because there's a crack. There's a chink in the armor now. Now there's disarray. Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, go down the list of all the players. They know that LeBron doesn't want them. And LeBron's the owner, the GM, and the coach. And if LeBron's trying to trade you, he's going to try to trade you again. And I love what Milwaukee did, getting Mirotic. They get another big on that team. Boston looks like they're turning it around again. Really a shame to see Markelle Fultz traded to Orlando. He's been a bust. A couple of people today on social media comparing who's a bigger bust, Anthony Bennett coming out of UNLV or Markelle Fultz, who was just traded today because the Sixers can no longer put up with it. The guy's got the yips. He can't even shoot a jump shot, and they don't want him around that organization. Good kid. Really sad what's happened to him. I hope he's able to get his head right because he's a great athlete and come back and have a great career. 876-1340 if you want to talk basketball on what needs to happen for the Lakers or any of the other teams that are loading up into the trade deadline and have a better chance to beat the Warriors. To me, it looks like there are four teams. It's the Warriors, the Celtics, Toronto, and then you have to look at the Bucks with Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Bucks are loaded, and they made a nice move. So whoever gets out of the East is going to be battle-tested, probably a little bit tired getting out of the East. It's going to take a lot of work, and the Warriors will be waiting for them, rested, ready to go, and ready to win another championship. They're fourth in 5 years. They're a dynasty, just like the Patriots. We have two dynasties right now. I think that's cool. I happen to not like both the teams. I'm okay with the Warriors. I root against the Patriots. But you're living in a time, if you have young children, if you're a fan, that you have dynasties for your kids to learn about and watch. Dynasties don't roll around every often. I mean, you know when your dynasty's coming, and a team might not come back and remain a dynasty again for another 20, 30 years. Patriots look like that dynasty will be in place for a while. Let's get to the night's highlights. First, the Carlson goal. You want to get this front line scoring. The first two lines got to score in abundance. Last night was special.
Ahead with Stastny, 2-on-1. Carlson feeds the middle. Stastny for Carlson. He scores! Back and forth and back again. Carlson, 2-1 Knights. 13 minutes to go in the second.
Yeah, that second period was really special in that game when they started to score and score in bunches. Here's the Marchessault goal.
Derek England skates out, head up to the red line, finds Smith, right circle, backhand shot, save, rebound, score! Another for Marchessault! 3-1 Golden Knights. Jonathan Marchessault's 19th goal of the season and second of the game, and there's that slump-breaking assist for Riley Smith.
Yeah, 19 goals for Marchessault, which is okay, but he's got the ability to get hot and score in bunches, and I think that we're going to see that from him in the second half of the season. The McNabb goal was beautiful, too, because it gave him the cushion and the ability to close it out.
And he skates ahead with the puck to the offensive zone. He dangles right side, he shoots, save, and it's in! Oscar Lindberg appeared to get the last bit of it, and the Knights take a 4-2 lead.
And that was it. Fleury in goal again. Again, he's eating up minutes. He's playing a lot of goal. A lot of goal. He's in the nets all the time. The wear and tear, the all-star game, everything that he's done. But you need him if this team's going to get on a special run, which I believe has already started.
High slot for Green. Around to the right side, Nyquist. Right dot. Feeds left shot. Kick save! Fleury dives to his right. Puck still in the zone. Left point.
Just incredible to watch him play. Bobby, who runs the show, runs the Knights broadcast, same thing. We talked about it before. When you watch this guy play, you always expect to win. Not every hockey team can say that. That's what's special. Start building and getting the area of the plaza ready for the Fleury statue. Don't wait 10 years. Start it now. Put it out there while he's still a Vegas Golden Knight. He's that special. For Gerard Gallant, pretty happy with the front line. The first line in that game had a productive night.
Yeah, they played real good. And like I said, it was a matter of time before I was going to get them back together. They play well together. And so it worked out. They had some jump and scored some goals.
Yeah, really important because this homestand, as we just said, 8 out of 9 here in Vegas. Very important time to stay hot and really win a bunch of games in front of the home fans.
We got, I think, 8 of the next 9 at home, and we got to make sure we're ready to play. We usually play real good in our building, so they're real important, and hopefully we can gain a lot of points over the next 8 or 9 games.
Yeah, they're going to have to, and the schedule, it's not super difficult, but there's some tough games mixed in there, and there's going to be some big fan bases and some road fans coming out here. It's an important time, but I think Gallant is happy to be back home because the way they finished that road trip was productive.
Yeah, it's a good trip. I mean, it didn't start off real good at all, and I think we lost 4 in a row, and then to win these last 2 games is big, especially, you know, coming out of Tampa Bay with a big win there, and then we carried the momentum tonight after the first period. We played well, so hopefully we'll come back home and have a day off tomorrow and get ready for some real good teams next week.
So I'm excited to go to the game tomorrow night. If you're going to the game, if you're a Knights fan, call the flagship station, Hockey. Show started 20 minutes ago. We're ready to go. 876-1340. Gary Lawless will join us coming up next on the road trip. The home game's coming up. The schedule, what this team needs to do to have energy. This, to me, is the time where we're getting really serious in this building, on this station, with this team now. Every game becomes a priority as we're building, we in this town, building for playoff positioning to make sure we don't have a really tough test in the first round so there could be momentum in the playoffs. I really believe, I'm not saying Stanley Cup, but the goal of this team is easily to get to the Western Conference Finals again. It's not getting in the playoffs. It's no longer winning a round. It's going deep into the playoffs, and I think these home games that are upcoming are going to play a really big role in how this team looks. One other storyline I want to fit here in the monologue is just in San Diego, got back this morning, and no Bryce Harper deal. And there's chatter in San Diego, which is a joke. In San Diego, they actually think on sports radio that Bryce Harper would go play there. They do. And because Bryce Harper and the Padres, they've talked. They're kicking the tires. It's really despicable of San Diego wants to try to fake everybody into thinking that they're going to do the deal. So I went on a radio show yesterday and I said I'd buy 2 season tickets to the Padres this year if Bryce Harper signs. And I'd be sweating that one out because I don't want to pay for season tickets to the Padres, even if I live there. But if Bryce Harper goes there, I'll be a fan of the Padres. I'll enjoy watching. I'll watch all their games if he goes there because I love Bryce Harper. I think he's the next great, iconic baseball player along with Mike Trout. And the Yankees haven't made a move for him yet. What about the Dodgers? In Vegas, all the Dodger fans, Dodger Blue prints money. They can go sell a piece of their art. The Guggenheim Group, one piece of art, can pay $100 million towards Bryce Harper's career. And I think the Dodgers are really risking not being irrelevant. But if the Dodgers don't get Bryce Harper, and Machado's obviously not coming back, how do the Dodgers expect to get to the World Series, let alone win? After Puig's gone, Kemp's gone, they don't get Harper. I'm fascinated that Bryce Harper isn't signed. If you believe in conspiracy theories, believe in this one about possible collusion and the fact that the owners might be saying over a steak dinner and a $200 bottle of wine, I'm not paying 10-year deals. You got it? Wink, you got it? Let's, because I don't know why anybody wouldn't overpay for Bryce Harper. That's all we've done in baseball the last 20 years, starting with A-Rod. Every great player is getting hundreds of millions of dollars, Pujols, and they're all being overpaid. Now we got a guy that's worthy of being overpaid and no one will overpay him? Albert Pujols got robbed the city of Anaheim and the Angels on the longest term deal, a terrible deal. Don't hear a pin drop on that. Not a whisper anymore. No one cares because he's going to the Hall of Fame. Great player, but they overpaid for him. You're not overpaying for Bryce Harper. Vegas's own Bryce Harper. And I think the Yankees and the Dodgers this week, if they're playing a game against each other, one of them's going to give an offer, the other team's going to blink, come back with an offer, and it's going to be on either the Yankees or the Dodgers for Bryce Harper. And it's a legacy play because he's never won nothing, okay? Never won nothing. Didn't have this iconic college career, the young phenom out of high school. Hasn't won yet with the Nationals. It's time he starts winning and building his resume for the Hall of Fame. When we come back, we'll talk to Gary Lawless. He's back in town. Ask him about the road trip and what's in front for us as the Vegas Golden Knights have Columbus coming up and some really good teams and a fun schedule. Bobby, I went to KISS last night. Maybe you can come back with that. The voice is a little bit gone, but we'll build it up again. Good to be back. Thanks to Golden Entertainment. Head out to PT's for happy hour at 5.
And the faceoff is a stalemate, tipped across, horn sounds, this game is over. Final score, Golden Knights 4, Red Wings 3.
Knights Radio, JT back with you. Like the momentum they have, there was a four-game losing streak tucked into the beginning of this road trip, but they come out of it with the shootout win at Tampa Bay and then the win last night at Detroit. Gary Lawless joins us, the great Vegas Golden Knights insider, part of the broadcast team. And Gary, good to have you back in town for the next 8 out of 9. How's that feel?
It feels real good, JT. I got back just in time for Big Daddy Daughter Dance at my daughter's school, and I'm at the salon overseeing a manicure right now.
There you go. I love that. The family, the priority. That's awesome. Hey, what was the takeaway from the road trip in general? The loss at Carolina, the loss at Florida, but then those back-to-back wins, especially the Tampa Bay game in the shootout, which I thought was one of the most important victories regular season in franchise history because of the opponent.
Yeah, the game in Carolina, the team wasn't good. And the game in Florida, they were very good. James Reimer was excellent in that for Florida, but that game was important because they made a couple of big mistakes, and Florida took advantage of it. And so the game changes in the NHL. The season starts, everybody comes out of training camp. That's one kind of hockey, and then at around Christmas time, we'll do it in gears. First gear at Christmas time, second gear. And then after the All-Star break, third gear, playoffs is fourth gear. And Vegas wasn't in third gear, and Carolina was. Carolina's fighting for, Florida, fighting to get back into the playoff race. and they had more urgency. And Vegas made big mistakes that the Panthers capitalized on. Somewhere between Fort Lauderdale and Tampa, the Golden Knights got it in the third gear, and they played a completely different game in terms of like the temperature in that game, JT, in the building. It got hot. After Paquette ran, knocked Carpenter into the boards, Chris Rooney, who was a referee that night, he went and he stood in front of the Golden Knights bench, and Gallant gave it to him, and then Rooney gave it back to him. It was like Earl Weaver and, a 1980s, 1970s Major League Baseball up. Like they weren't nose to nose, but they might as well have been. And that was really significant on the Golden Knights bench. I think that just somehow their intensity, which had their urgency, had been missing, Gallant flipped the switch for him right then. And then, of course, Eakin scores, and then Zikov scores. They get to overtime and tuck with the winner. But that game, I think it reminded them of what they can be. They were great in Detroit, but to be honest with you, the first period was kind of iffy. The second period, again, they found that gear. So this is the one thing about this team. They can be a playoff team and a dangerous playoff team. They need to find that consistency. They have not been in that place for long stretches, long enough stretches. They need to find that now because everybody is jockeying for playoff position. LA is still in the picture in the West. Like, you look in the Western Conference, nobody's out. And so every game they're going to play inside the conference is going to be a battle because that opposition, the opponent, is going to have a sniff at the playoffs. Vegas has to match the opponent's urgency and desperation every night the rest of the way.
Gary Lawless is our guest. Let's stay with the gears you were talking about. Being around Gallant and knowing him the way you do, for the fans who don't know him, what type of coach is he as these gears get grinded and then you go to the next gear and he understands the calendar? We were all rewarded with a trip to the Cup Final last year. What do you think he needs to do in the coming weeks to have this team peaking at the right time?
Well, this is the other thing that happens in the National Hockey League. At a certain point in the season, the players take over, and that is now. There's not much the coach can do now. If the team isn't willing to bring itself to the arena on a nightly basis and play at that level, there's not a ton the coach can do. It's too late. Those habits and that what you want out of a team, they have to bring it themselves. And this group can do it. It has the right leadership. They have done it at the right moments. So it's more on the players now. Gallant can tweak, fiddle with his lineup a little bit. And, of course, if there is a trade at the deadline, then the coaching staff will have to be very involved in assimilating those players. But it's coaches do a lot. At a certain point in time, the players come to the rink and they tie their skates up. From that moment on, it's about them.
All right, what do we have to look forward to with the Columbus game, Arizona, obviously Toronto? I know a lot of their fans want to come in for a long weekend. That's a Thursday night game on the 14th. Walk us through the next four games, which is Columbus, Arizona, Toronto, and Nashville, and how important this stretch is.
Well, Columbus is a team that's in the mix. They're trying to get over the hump and get into a good position. So they're going to have a ton of intensity. They've got their two best players, Artemi Panarin and Sergei Bobrovsky, have both told that organization that they are unwilling to re-sign prior to the trade deadline. So they may trade one of those players. There's a ton of uncertainty with that Columbus roster right now. So that'll be very interesting. Arizona, they won't go away. Rick Tocchet's done a great job with that group. They're young. They're still playing. They're still in the hunt. They've still got a sniff. Toronto is, in some ways, one of the most talented teams in the National Hockey League. They'll have fans here. The building will be live for that night. Mike Babcock will remember well that they came in here last year on New Year's Eve and got absolutely spanked by the Golden Knights. They'll be hungry for that game, and Nashville is among the top three, four, five best teams in the Western Conference. If Vegas wants to get to the Stanley Cup Final, they're going to have to beat teams of Nashville's caliber on the western side. That's a big test. Last time, they need to prove they can beat teams like Nashville, Winnipeg, San Jose, Calgary, if they're going to be back in the final this year.
Have a great time with your daughter. I know it's busy time for you. Appreciate you making time. I'll see you out there tomorrow.
JT, I love coming on the program.
You got it, buddy. And thank you. We'll have you in studio here over the homestand. We're looking forward to it, Gary. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You got it. There he is, Gary Lawless. Really important, I think, the stretch. You know, we're talking hockey because we have a professional hockey team in town that's really good. So the fans got to know who these opponents are because we know that Toronto, that gorgeous jersey, the Maple Leafs are going to come in here with fans. That's going to be an excellent game. And as he said, Nashville is the one that I have circled. But it's tomorrow, February 9th, Columbus at home, 7 o'clock. Listen to the game right here. Pre-game, everything lined up here on the Vegas Golden Knights radio network. When we come back, we'll get an update from Tommy White down at the stadium at the construction site. We do that every week, walking you along on the biggest construction site in Nevada, Raider Stadium. And how that's coming along, Tommy's been telling us when he can about new rollouts. Maybe there's something fresh he could tell us about. We'll talk to Tommy coming up next.
It's almost 9 o'clock. You gotta go to work.
I'm a working man. I gotta pay my bills. I'm a working man.
Work.
I'm ready to get to work.
And now with your Raiders Stadium update, here's Tommy White.
Yeah, good to catch up with Tommy again. After a few days of Vegas Golden Knight hockey, we're back on the air. Tommy, what's going on down at the site? Get us the update, buddy. The cell phone. The cell phone at a construction site. We saw that coming. We'll get Tommy up here momentarily. We'll get him right back up. We got to get him on a better spot. On that construction site, there's a lot of things happening from time to time. So we'll call him back, Bobby, in a minute here. Want to know what's going on with Tommy, what's happening over there. Again, I was just in San Diego the last 2 days, had meetings in L.A. I got to San Diego, no football stadium anymore. Qualcomm's there, empty. Really problems there. Sports arena's old. The politicians in San Diego and Oakland have destroyed Oakland and San Diego, California, politicians when it comes to sports. A complete mess. What's happening there? So I went on, sat in studio on a San Diego show talking about this, Bryce Harper, but also the Raiders and potentially, the Raiders would be a good fit in San Diego short term if they had to be down there because their fan base is enormous in L.A. and they'd love to go to home games in San Diego. It would make a lot of sense. But those Charger fans are hurting because the politicians couldn't get it done. Tommy White at the stadium. So good to have you, Tommy. What's happening? What's new this week?
After we had a couple of solid rain days last week, right? And today we get the guys to go out there and it's like 26 degrees. We're putting together some racks that's going to be flying up. So when I see racks, we got some full sections of structural steel that are going to be being flown up, which are going to go on top of the cores, right? Mm-hmm. So, and this is what's going to start setting us up for us to do the cables that are going to hold up. So we still have a lot of steel to go. Stadium 8, yeah, had a good meeting this week with
Tommy. We're going to hold off, Tommy. We'll do it again another time. We just can't get a good cell service there. So Tommy's great. He comes in studio. We'll get him on here all the time. It's tough when the cell isn't working good out there at the site. So we'll just do it a different time and get him in studio again. We appreciate that. He talked about the meetings and how everything's on budget he was going to get to and how they're ahead of schedule. But he's right about those construction workers, the men and women who worked that at 26 degrees, 30 degrees when they get up and they get out to that site, especially this week. Really cold, and we did have a few rain days. That slows down construction. That's what took the whole Rams stadium and put it off course by almost a year when they had torrential rain over 18 days. 18 days of rain in L.A. put the Rams stadium back a year. So we don't have that problem out here in Vegas too much, but they were grinding pretty hard this week. When we come back, we're going to get right into it. I'm going to go through some of the NBA trade deadline deals, how teams got better. We'll talk about that coming up. And the future of Derek Carr with the silver and black. There's a quarterback who won the Heisman Trophy out of Oklahoma that everybody's saying is going to play football. What effect could that have on number four going into this season, hopefully in Oakland? We'll get to that next.
Lonzo got it.
The Lakers matched their biggest lead of the game.
Turn it up, Bobby. Yes, Kiss is still out on tour. They're coming to Vegas. It's a big, big, big money grab. If you want T-shirts, and they'll sell you anything. Good time last night in San Diego. JT the Brick back with you, courtesy of the Henderson Hyundai Superstore, Boulder Highway in Henderson. They have the super deals you're looking for. The NBA tracker, when it came to trades, now that the trade deadline has come and gone, I think the big winner was Milwaukee getting Mirotic. They get another big guy to go along with Antetokounmpo. That could be the difference now on that three-team deal with them getting a great player. Thon Maker went to the Pistons, and the Pelicans get Jason Smith and Stanley Johnson. Also, I was surprised. It took a long time for it to happen, but the Grizzlies trade Gasol to Toronto. Marc Gasol, after a great career, going to Toronto. So Toronto gets a veteran leader, a big guy that's going to help them deep in the playoffs, a rim protector, a guy who could score and play defense when they have to. The trade today, Markelle Fultz, as it was finally redirected and official to Orlando. The Sixers get Jonathan Simmons and a protected 2019 first-round pick and a 2019 second-round pick. That's a big deal because the Sixers are throwing in the towel on a kid who was drafted really just right out of high school. He had a cup of coffee at Washington and then had the yips, had an injury, and he's never been the same. So this kid now falls under the category as a bust, and I don't want that to happen to anybody. We saw what happened to Anthony Bennett here. I saw what happened with my own eyes. I was there for Jamarcus Russell. You never want to see a bust happen because players only play, what, 5-10 years max? And these kids who bust out in a year or two have to get through the rest of their life knowing that. I'm really hoping that this kid turns out to be a legit player in the next couple of years. And finally, Porzingis to Dallas, which we didn't get a chance to talk about at the end of last week. That gives Dallas now the opportunity with Luka Doncic and a great player in Porzingis, if he stays healthy, to have two cornerstone elite all-stars for the next few years. The Hawks got Jabari Bird. I like that move there. Greg Monroe to the Nets. Then he was waived. Shumpert to the Rockets in a three-team deal. And the most important thing is Anthony Davis stays in New Orleans. They were talking. The Pelicans were actually talking to the league about what would happen if they sat him the rest of the season. And the NBA reminded them, you can't do that. They have rules. You can't sit a guy out when he's healthy. They're season ticket holders. There's tickets. You can't do it. They were seriously thinking about shutting him down. So for Anthony Davis, his choice is going to be simple. Clippers, Lakers, Knicks, or Bucks. And I think the front runner is still the Lakers because he has the same agent as LeBron James. Speaking of agents, what I wanted to get to is Kyler Murray today, who's making a decision on football and the combine, I believe, over baseball. It's a big deal here in Vegas. This is a monster story that no one's talking about. So what's going to happen with him, the impact of him showing up at the combine, he could end up being a Raider at number four. He can go to the Giants, or some team like Jacksonville can trade up and take him number one overall. Why is that an important story? Because he's a Triple-A baseball player who could be playing in downtown Summerlin for many a nights in that beautiful new stadium as a baseball player for the Oakland Athletics as he's getting groomed to be a major leaguer. Now, what does that do for Derek Carr? The question more people ask me when they see me more than anything is, JT, what do you think of Derek Carr? Will he be here in Vegas? Well, I just saw him in Vegas. He was at the ground opening in Henderson. He wants to be here. I don't see a scenario now that the Raiders are going to take Kyler Murray. But if the workouts and the combine blow everybody away, would John Gruden look at a scenario where Carr automatically gets $20 million guaranteed this year? $20 million guaranteed. Would they cut him and go in a different direction or trade Derek Carr? I hope he stays. He's a good guy. He's a cornerstone piece. But they got rid of Khalil Mack. They got rid of Amari Cooper. I think Derek's different because the Raider organization going through this rebuild at least has a quarterback. Going through a rebuild with a rookie quarterback is tough, really tough. And a lot of free agents say, nah, I don't want to go there now. You're rebuilding with a rookie quarterback? I'll go there and play for Derek Carr. I'll play with him and catch some passes, but I'm not going there as you groom a young kid who's never played in the NFL. So a lot of buzz about the future of Derek Carr. Where are the Raiders going to play next year? I think the Raiders will play in Oakland, and I think Derek Carr will be their quarterback in Oakland. And if Derek Carr plays well, he'll be the quarterback in Vegas. But there's a long time between Oakland or playing in San Francisco for a year and getting to Vegas. And Derek's got to play better this year. He's got to play better. Patrick Mahomes changed it all, everybody. He's changed the entire league. Because you can have a player like Derek Carr, or you can look around and say, yeah, I got Marcus Mariota. He's pretty good. Or I got a franchise quarterback in Matthew Stafford. And then you look up and you see this kid, Mahomes, play, and you go, no, we don't have any of that. We don't have what that kid has, so we're not going to be able to beat that kid over the next 10 years unless we get someone better. And Kyler Murray could be the next Patrick Mahomes. Really could. I would doubt it. He's 5'9", 5'10". But could he play at that level? I didn't think Mahomes would come in and play and dominate this league with over 50 touchdowns and 50,000 yards, but he was able to do it. Now, 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. Will he be able to do that back to back to back? I think he is, and I think he'll do it. I think Mahomes will be an iconic Hall of Fame quarterback because of his gifted talent. But Kyler Murray, right now, could be the next great superstar in this league. And to the Raiders, have the balls to take him number 4 with their first pick overall and go down that road. If they do, it's a completely different franchise. It would be a young, iconic Heisman Trophy winner quarterback, baseball player, Deion Sanders, type 2 sports stud as the face of the franchise. Or do you say, no, too risky, too small, we have Derek Carr? As of today, I would bet and go all in on Derek Carr. But I didn't think Khalil Mack would be gone. And they got an offer they couldn't refuse for Khalil Mack. What could an offer be for Derek Carr? I don't think it's going to be on the table because I think John Gruden understands the road to this rebuild goes a lot faster and smoother with Derek Carr than breaking in a rookie or trading for a veteran. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. We'll take a look at the schedule tonight in front of us, NBA action. And then again, those 8 out of 9 games coming up for your Vegas Golden Knights. Puts us in a good spot to have a great time, especially if you're going to PT's to watch hockey from 5 to 7, midnight to 2. The best happy hour in town is at PT's, where hockey is on every TV.
Elliott cuts across the key twice. Now he'll shoot a long three, and he'll hit it. Noah Rabotham with a huge shot there has given the Rebels a 6-point lead, under 2 to go.
No hesitation.
John Sandler on the call. Nice win for the Rebels against Boise State. Now the Rebels 6-4 in the Mountain West here. You know, they get rid of that losing streak and maybe something to build on here again. Are the Wolves at the door when it comes to Marvin Menzies and his future here? What does he have to do to recruit better, get players in here, which I think he's doing well, coach him up, coach him better on game day, and win games like we've seen this year, the close ones? That's a good win against Boise State. Again, I know people in the building are talking about it. It's important that when the Rebels win a game like that and get clutch shooting, great defense late, that the town backs him up. Nice win. Look who was ahead of him. Nevada's 9-1. Utah State 8-2. Then Fresno State at 7-3, and there are the Rebels. San Diego State, Boise State, and the rest of the bottom dwellers there. So this town has great expectations for UNLV from the Tark era. It's not the Tark era anymore. It's not even close. So when you're sitting here fourth place in the Mountain West and you're playing a good team and you beat them, maybe that's some pretty good momentum going forward. Bobby, you just heard that commercial for the new Alliance American Football League that's coming in. I'm going to bite my tongue and take the high road like I typically do. Not so much on Twitter, but behind a microphone, because I'd like to see football. I'm going to give this a chance like everybody else. You heard about the viewing party at the MGM. Vegas is looking for more sports books to bet, opportunities here. Good football players playing. This isn't a minor leagues. They want to compete with professional football players and have this be vibrant and bring in revenue and ratings. The only way it's going to survive is if people watch it on television and it gets TV ratings. If no one watches it and people think it's like the XFL, which is coming back, and it's more gimmicky, they're going to be in it for one game and they're going to be out of it. A really important launch coming up. And guys I know who are working on the broadcast went to their camp down in San Antonio for the practice games and the broadcast and couldn't believe Bill Polian, everybody who's involved, Steve Spurrier, the good coaches. This is a quality product that they're putting out there. But again, it's so important. It's like launching a television show with a pilot. You better get ratings on the first show. You better get people tuning in second week, third week, because if not, the XFL's coming along, the NFL comes back, and we're just buried with NBA content around the clock. And in this town, we have hockey. So it's an important moment for this league. I wish them the best. I hope fans show up, and I hope it gets the ratings that you like on television. All right, so tomorrow, I'll be out at the game. If you're going to the game, send us a tweet at JTTheBrick. I got one of my best friends I grew up with my whole life. He's a fireman from Brooklyn, New York. He's in the air right now, flying from New York to Vegas to come to the hockey game tomorrow. He's a hockey goalie. His son's a hockey goalie in high school, and they want to see the Vegas Golden Knights. So we're going to take him to the game tomorrow with my kids, get the jerseys on, get in there, get going, and show one of my best friends what's happening in this town with this hockey team. And it's going to blow his mind when he watches the opening of it. Can't wait for that. Get to your seats early. Listen to the pregame tomorrow. Bobby will be on the board. I am hosting all day, 4 hours on Sunday on Mad Dog Sports Radio on Sirius XM. So that'll be my Sunday after the Saturday night hockey game. Have a great night, everybody. Head on out to PT's. We'll give you the new location that they just opened up for the PT's Gold. And we'll tell you everything that they have going on next week with their new venture inside the Stratosphere, now the Strat. Have a great night. I'm JT the Brick on Facebook at JT the Brick. VGK. Go Knights, go.